Welcome to Real Geeks, the B-roll! Yeah, we're back to that old shit. And I think that outburst is more or less 80% of my energy, because I got the COVID. Good old COVID.
I mean, let's be honest, as much as we obviously advocate masking and vaccination and so forth, it was gonna happen.
It's inevitable. I done got me a bunch of shots, but you know how it is. You go to a Christmas dinner and someone doesn't know that they've got it and they spread it to everyone.
Yeah, of course. Actually, I was just going to say, didn't you like just get the newest vaccine?
No, that was a whole different heap of fun where I got this year's flu vaccine.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
And it kicked my ass, which allowed me a single day of respite between that ass kicking and this ass kicking. So, rolling hard into 2023, y'all. Woo.
Yeah, the year is about 5 days old, and Crash has already basically chosen biogenic violence.
Ah, so it's like any other year, eh? All right.
Pretty much.
Well, with that all in mind, in terms of my reactivity and general ennui orgasm, by all means, hit me. What we got? What's this time? What now?
Our main topic is, of course, going to be what's left of the DCEU, because holy god.
It's amazing that something that, like, completely collapsed a couple of years ago keeps breaking. Like,
yeah,
Say you're at an art exhibit and you're looking at a Fabergé egg, and that Fabergé egg gets knocked off the pedestal and breaks. Okay, it's broken. It's done. You now have pieces left. You can't display this Fabergé egg anymore. Move on to having a different artistic showcase. But then the janitor comes along, and in sweeping it up, they like sweep it right under the feet of a bunch of guests who step on glass, and that flings them into the priceless portraitry that is on the far wall and just ruins five other unrelated pieces of art. And then they're like flailing around trying to get these paintings off while they still have Fabergé glass in their feet and smash through the front window, the artistically designed beautiful architecture of this front window. So now there's like glass going everywhere, more glass for them to walk on. The paintings, which are beautiful Flemish works, are completely ruined. The alarms are fucking losing their minds. Other patrons are running around screaming. You're pretty sure you just saw a guy pocket some of the really good sculptures. That is the DCEU's Snyderverse implosion. Living up to its creator's absolute fucking misanthropic oeuvre, it just keeps getting worse despite it having fucking ended. It's like the radioactive core under Chernobyl that, after everything had fucking blown up, kept being like, oh, by the way, I'm not done.
Now, like, that's our main topic. Before we get sued by the Fabergé estate for comparing their artwork to the DCEU, I just had a couple of quick notes that I wanted to just take 2 minutes to hit. First of all, early in the show's history, I think it was episode 48 of series one, we had reviewed the 2015 web series Haphead, and it was announced by lead actress and friend of the show, Alicia Kronheim, that Haphead is now available to view for free.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to haphead.com, get the links and support the official release. Like, okay, yes, it's free, but my logic is simply this. When it was originally released, for them to get a season two, they would have had to hit 1 million views, but only made about 250,000. And I would just love to see them get to 1 million, like free or not, just so they could like finally actually get there.
Yeah.
Because like quite simply, this is a wonderful product that just deserves the success. Now, my second quick note was just a thing that I read earlier today. I assume you're familiar with the story of the internet's current favorite beta male, Andrew Tate.
Delightfulness.
And the emissions of his 22 cars and the pizza box that got him arrested.
And the fact that he did it all in the UK first and the cops there didn't do shit about it.
I'm sure someone listening is going, no, wait, Mike, it was 33 cars. Uh-oh. Let us take a moment to just bask and enjoy because, no, it's not 33 anymore because 11 of his cars were seized by Romanian authorities.
Ah, delightful.
So let's just take a moment, just bask, just enjoy the suffering.
Oh, there, let me dry those tears. Yes, your anguish sustains me.
Well, isn't that delightful that this seems to be a year for famous assholes getting their comeuppance so far anyway. Come on, sustain. Come on, sustain.
Yeah, and I mean, just the simple fact that this guy loves to brag about how much of an alpha male he is, and a buddy of mine had shared a Reddit post that kind of laid everything out and how the whole alpha male thing works and how how the most alpha person in this entire thing was Greta Thunberg.
Oh, yes.
Which, again, just, yes. Love it. And now into the good stuff. Well, I guess good stuff depending on who you ask, but. So, as much as as we've said, the DCEU ended a couple of years back. Yeah, I know Black Adam just came out, but I mean, let's be honest.
That was dead on arrival, and The Rock knew it.
You would think that he knew it.
I'm never going to underestimate him because he's a very smart businessman. When it comes to, like, having gone from a failed CFL player to what he is now.
Yeah.
And the route that he took and the way that he indulged and stepped away and overcame, like, just being another member of his family wrestling, because there's a lot of members of his family who wrestle, and none of them reach any kind of level that he is at. He has somehow completely managed to, like, eclipse his own family's legacy, which is monumental. You know, like people who don't know wrestling know about The Rock, and that's one of those things that, like, considering the amount of people in his family who have wrestled and who those people are throughout the history of wrestling, it's like if Muhammad Ali's granddaughter actually became famous on her own account and, like, people had no fucking clue or something like that.
On the one hand, you know, like you said, you know, we absolutely give the man credit for getting to where he is today. At the same time, though, stuff's going to come up over the course of this episode. The kinds of things that have me going, dude, what the fuck are you doing?
See, I think that's it all stems from that same drive, just unleashed and entirely uncontrolled because of his fame and his size and all of that. Like, he... it's one thing when you're a young up-and-comer trying to strive to do all that, and you have that kind of work ethic, because it allows you to make the leap, and you can end up doing a lot of fun stuff with that. However, once you've become established and you keep that work ethic up, it can lead to you essentially running everything that you are involved in, and thus running over everything. And so I fully believe that The Rock knew that Black Adam was not going to be anything big. He was trying, absolutely. He was trying to co-opt the thing, and we'll get into it, but he was trying to make it his own. And he was hoping to probably get a little more. I mean, like, it failed pretty bad. There was a world out there where with just a nudge, it wouldn't have failed as badly and could still, like, entice to continue. However, I think he also, as a pro wrestler, lies out his fucking ass really well. So when he says it's the biggest thing ever, yeah, I remember when every episode of Raw was the biggest thing ever. Turns out last week's always the biggest, and next week's always the biggest, and you know, nothing ever fucking happens, because Triple H just holds on to the goddamn belt.
Yeah, frankly, you're not wrong there, but let's be honest, that's an entire different podcast.
That is a 20-year-old rant.
Yeah. Now, with what's left of the DCU, like, and one early thing with Rock specifically, with everything that's happening right now, people are trying to blame the downfall of the DCU on two people, which is James Gunn and The Rock.
Yeah. Which is kind of like blaming the Mortician and the Undertaker.
I mean, true. I was actually going to go with a different angle, because I'm kind of fascinated by how political this whole thing is starting to sound.
Mm. And it always has, because the basis of the fandom for Zack Snyder has always had very clear neo-fascist like parallels and flavors to it. So yeah. I am not surprised that any other aspect of this becomes absurdly political. While meanwhile, over in Marvel, they've got like a roboticomorphized version of their chief creative officer, Kevin, and that's like they don't give a fuck. Whatever.
No,
fuck
they really don't, and like you can't blame them. But in terms of the DCU, there are two people that I blame. Well, really one person in a group, which is Zack Snyder and the Snyder cult.
Mm.
Because with Zack Snyder, like, I'm sorry, Warner Brothers, well, I guess technically I'm about to blame them for this as well, but anyway, handed the reins for the DC Universe and Superman to a director who clearly did not know the first thing about making a Superman movie.
Yeah, well, like, by his own, and I was thinking about this quite a bit the last couple of days to try to find, like, you know, an aspect to it that I haven't previously talked about. As he has admitted by, you know, his own, well, not even like admitted or something, his drive and what he believes is a feature, not a flaw, is that he never read comics when he was a kid. They didn't appeal to him because he didn't get their morality. And what really got his attention was Watchmen and The Dark Knight, because they were violent and sexual and sexually violent. And that made sense, he said to him, because he fundamentally didn't believe that people could be heroes. They would be corrupt. Therefore, this corrupt version is what it should be. Regardless of the fact that Dark Knight Batman is not corrupt, he completely misunderstood that character.
Yeah.
Anyway, and completely misunderstood fucking Watchmen. He's incapable of making a Superman film in the way that like he was tasked, or a Justice League film in the way he was tasked to, because his approach, and you know, the reason that Watchmen appealed to him is he's the kind of guy that you have to break a story. You know, people hate Rian Johnson's take on The Last Jedi, but really that's the kind of thing that you should have had Zack Snyder do. Get into your second phase of your films. Have it all be, you know, fun, enjoyable, happy-go-lucky, what have you. You know, like, relative areas of seriousness, but like, it's overall positive and happy. And to get ready for that third chapter of your three chapter saga arc, have Zack Snyder direct something that breaks everything. And the purpose of it then becomes breaking everything, having shit go bad. And therefore, it takes the rest of the films to the end of that saga to correct from that breaking. That is what you should do. And what I realized is the perfect thing that he should have actually directed, let alone read, and I know that he doesn't read many comic books except for like the ones that other assholes tell him to read, but Alan Moore's Miracle Man. Because Alan Moore's Miracle Man begins with the presumption, like, it begins in reality. It's like, it's a solid reality of the world around you, very mundane, very straightforward, with real world problems. And then it injects a world of overt 1950s fantasy that is then taken entirely literally. And it's like, yes, this is a thing. This was a thing entirely. And then, after establishing all of that, breaks it on moral levels incomprehensible to the viewer at the time. That's what Zack Snyder should have gotten his fucking hands on when he was a kid first, because we're not going to change any of his tendencies, but maybe we can at least get him to understand a story and character arc.
I mean, you know, like, we can certainly hope. And also, just to potentially add to your earlier point, I think we do also need to note that, if I remember correctly, Tim Burton had not read a Batman comic before making Batman 89. And quite simply, that movie is far more iconic and impactful than anything in the Snyderverse is ever going to be.
Absolutely, but I would say that the reasons for that is, one, there was a lot of input from DC Warner Brothers and Bob Kane. So there were a lot of voices telling him what can and cannot necessarily be appropriate. It wasn't him approaching it entirely fresh. It was a collaborative effort with Warner Brothers DC at the time. And so, while he had not read any Batman comics, and he did for the lead up to the movie and like to research it, that wasn't so much a hands-off thing from the studio and other like creatives at DC who helped him come up with it. But if you remember correctly, that is a movie that breaks the main logic of and rules of the Joker by giving you his real name, showing you his origin, and connecting that origin directly to your main character. And yet it works. No one complains that Jack Napier literally like quotes some bullshit towards the Waynes and then shoots them and then compliments the kid. And then years later, that kid is wearing fucking rubber standing in front of that same asshole who is now a pasty clown lunatic fighting over a chemical warfare grounds in the same fucking city. That's stupid. That is stupid. And if it was any other movie than Batman, no one would accept it.
No.
But you know what? Fucking Batman.
And also, like, and you, of course, had also brought up the, the air quotes when I say this, controversy around Last Jedi and how, much like the Snyder cult, there are a lot of Star Wars fans who basically fear change.
Mm-hmm.
And that does also illustrate the simple fact that with both franchises, there was no goddamn plan.
Yeah, the fact, like, I can understand that there was no plan with Star Wars. That was a major flaw, and how fucking stupid are you? But okay,
yeah.
You decided to do that. Sure, it makes sense from a J.J. Abrams perspective, which means don't try to think of it outside of that perspective. Otherwise, you might notice the glaring flaws in it. However, but Snyder was always so insistent that he had a plan, and it's just... It was obvious from the movies that he didn't. Very obvious. He had vague ambitions, maybe. But, you know, there is no overall master scheme to this. And just like I guess there wasn't to the first phase of the MCU. But at some point, the MCU decided to, like, work their shit out on a long-term basis. And... Zack Snyder never did, and no creative who came in after ever really did, and it's just been this weird, like, slow, dying, flailing nonsense that'll peter out with Flashpoint, which the studio still says is, it's great.
Yeah, Flashpoint, there's stuff that's come out recently around that we're gonna get into a little later on, and we're probably going to get back to some of this in a bit, but in terms of me throwing a whole lot of blame on the fans, and specifically the Snyder cult, one thing I did want to get into early on here was the timeline of this whole descent into exploding mushroom cloud after exploding mushroom cloud of madness, because one of the things that we were so often hearing early on anyway was, oh, James Gunn, how dare you get our hopes up by hiring Henry Cavill and then telling him to come out and announce that he's not playing Superman after all. You know, completely ignoring the fact that Cavill was brought back before James Gunn was even hired.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, these nerds don't understand how long production takes. They don't understand the business.
It's not even a production thing, which is the truly amazing part, because James Gunn and Peter Safran, their positions at Warner Brothers were effective as of November 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, Black Adam and the most spoiled mid-credit scene in the history of cinema came out in October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so, which means, yeah, the film already released, which means post-production of it had been completed a month at least ahead of time, which means production, as in filming of the sequence, would have been, you know, finished months before that, possibly a year. It's real dumb. They're real dumb.
It's... Like I mentioned how political this all sounds earlier, and it's like how you know how people will get upset about, like, the economy or what have you, and we'll blame the government that's currently in power, the one that's been in power for, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's always the policies of the previous government that were at fault.
Typically, yes. With the glaring exception, Tim Houston, you're killing us.
Yeah, valid point. And like the simple fact is, if you're going to be upset about Henry Cavill's hiring and then essentially firing, I remind you, Walter Hamada was the executive at the time. There's a reason it's his name on the credits in Black Adam.
Again, like, you know, the only thing that you can bring it back to is the rage outweighs the knowledge of the industry, the knowledge of how these productions work, the knowledge of what level of influence these nerds think that they have, which is practically none. They managed through a campaign of literal fear and harassment to get a movie released, and they thought that that gave them power, when really all it did is just expose the flawed and failed leadership of Warner Brothers at the time. Should have never given that fucking mouse a thing.
No.
Should have kicked it right quick. But now it's great fun because everything that they love has failed, and they are completely powerless. They can't threaten their way into anything, and now they're up against James Gunn, and James Gunn is an even bigger... I say this with like, love. I love his creative work. I love everything he does artistically. The man is an even bigger dickhead than they are. Like, you know, he's clever and charming and everything, but, like, pretty much, you know, like, everything that he has ever gotten in trouble in by is because he is, deep down, kind of a shit disturber. A shit disturber for good, probably. But they're shallow, stupid dickheads. And collectively, they can kind of bully. But he is a monolith of, like, really clever dickhead. And one really clever dickhead is absolutely outweighs even 10,000 dumb shits. And he will have those people eating out of the palm of his hand.
Yeah, and with the Snyder cult, I want to read part of Henry Cavill's statement from back on December 14th when he announced that he was no longer going to be playing Superman, because I think in terms of the reaction, this part is kind of important, because these are the people who swear up and down that they're fighting for Cavill, that they're supporting him, they're doing this because they want him back and so forth. Quote, "For those who have been by my side through the years, we can mourn it for a bit, but then we must remember, Superman is still around. Everything he stands for still exists, and the examples he sets for us are still there. My turn to wear the cape has passed, but what Superman stands for never will. It's been a fun ride with you all, onwards and upwards," end quote. And I read that and I'm going, you're screaming from the top of whatever rooftop you can find your love for Henry Cavill while refusing to listen to a single word the man has said.
Yeah, no, that's typical. You get the spirit of it, not necessarily the letter. And they're going to keep doing it for a long time. And again, I suspect that that's the best thing that they can do at this point for DCU which I guess is what we're calling it, for James Gunn, because he's the kind of guy who typically thrives and artistically thrives on kind of letting people get upset at him so that people who are not upset know that people they don't like are upset at him, which makes them interested in him. Consider the amount of content that is being generated telling people exactly what the next slate of DC content will be in terms of, like, what it won't be. By telling people, reiterating what kind of content that James Gunn makes, even if it's derisively, and then what kind of content will not be featured anymore, they're doing nothing but promoting the upcoming slate of films that have not even been written yet. I want to see them all. Good.
Yeah.
That sounds terrific. I can't wait to watch better writing, better characters, and fun directing. I wonder what pop song from the 80s they'll include in this one.
Oh, yeah, I'm into that. And on my end, as soon as James Gunn told a fan, like somebody had asked him if he would be looking to the Justice League animated series and Justice League Unlimited for potential ideas and inspiration. And Gunn was like, yes, absolutely. I'm sold right there.
Yeah. You know,
that was all I needed to hear.
And that's one of those things that a smart creative should do, because always say you're making a movie of a big IP. Always look to some of the most successful animated versions that have been created, and that's not just for nostalgia and reaching audiences. The writing on those very successful shows and very popular shows that are remembered for decades onward is very economical. They boil down massive storylines from comic books that often are meandering to their essence, and they deliver the essence of that story and the essence of the character cores that are required for it. And so you can like stretch out any Justice League story from the Justice League animated, because they're all drawn from comics that already exist. So you have your nucleus, you have your core that the cartoon will have boiled it down to, and you have your expanded version from the comics, and you can play in that middle ground between them all to your heart's content, or go wherever you want past that. But you automatically have an option of a furthest border and an internalized home core. And you can turn to either of them whenever you need to. And having that is where a lot of creative freedom comes in. Straight adaptations are a pain in the fucking ass. Things that vaguely reference a story, like, say, I don't know, any X-Men Dark Phoenix film that, like, is just barely related, that's creative bankruptcy. But, and this is what I think we're going to see, for the man who has everything.
Thank you.
You can cut that down to the way that the DC animated universe did with a really tight 20 minutes, or you can turn it into an arduous, heart-wrenching 2 hours without fucking hesitation.
I'm sitting here and I'm just kind of going, okay, I could potentially get a live action James Gunn written for the man who has everything. Go on.
Yeah, because you know, like, people think of James, people derisively think of James Gunn as like gory for humor's sake kind of stuff, as opposed to Zack Snyder, which was gore for gore's sake. Whereas James Gunn does it for humor. You can have the most grotesque and horrific thing on camera, but if it has like the right beat in the moment, it can work. The man's a really good like musical artist, which is funny considering he's better at it than Zack Snyder, who started in music videos. Anyway. But what he's really good at is heart-wrenching emotional shit, where all of that shock, all of that humor is just used to draw you in and then stick the knife into you. And it's the knife you gotta be watching for. It's when James Gunn knifes you. That's when you know you're fucked. And for the man who has everything, is handing James Gunn a fucking Bowie knife and going in for a hug.
Yeah, exactly. Like, whoever they do hire to play Superman, like, I know that I have said in the past that I would have liked to have seen Henry Cavill get one more shot at Superman. This would not be that shot.
Nope. No, he's not allowed that. In a truly perfect world, a very old Christopher Reeves would be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily want an old Superman for that story.
I know, he's an old Superman in the story, and then you de-age him for the few bits outside the story that you need.
Yeah, that could work, because like, as I was just going to say, I'm also at the same time, I'm going, a Christopher Reeve-led for the man who has everything. That is also very intriguing.
Yeah. Sadness. Brandon Routh still around. He could do it. On a budget.
Yeah, I mean,
a terrible green screen for TV DC Legends version of it. Where it's just like, I know what effects packet you used for the lighting on this.
I mean on the one hand, he was another one of those, I would like to see him get one more shot, and I got to see that with the CW's version of Crisis. But at the same time, yeah, him on the big screen one more time, I could be down for that too.
It would have to be something special, but yeah.
Yeah. Now, just so I can slag on the Snyder cult a little more, I want to throw a few things that I've seen them put out just for your reaction. And one of them is like, they swear up and down that the entire upcoming slate, Shazam, Aquaman, Flashpoint, and so forth, why are you even bothering to release these? Nobody's gonna watch them now that you've announced the DCU is dead, yada yada yada. But then there was a poster art for Flashpoint that was recently released where they are losing their goddamn minds over how bad it looks.
I mean, to be fair, that's a really bad angle on the alt berry. It's a really bad angle.
Oh, yeah.
For those who don't know, there's a poster that was released, and one of the berries on, maybe it's Wally, I don't know. One of the flashes on it is an alt flash, or at least wearing an alt flash suit, and it's based on a Keaton Batman suit. So it has the built-in rubber cowl, and it's been like spray painted to be flash red, and it has really weird like checkered warning things on its belt, on his belt. Anyway, options and choices and decisions were made.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the exact angle that it is photographed, it makes him look like he has no neck. It makes him look like a, what is those necklace military fucks from Doctor Who? Centaurs.
Centaurs.
Makes him look like a Centauran. And that's not a good look.
No, no. Like you're absolutely right. Like, to me, the image looks like someone blew up just like a thumbnail of the poster.
Yeah.
And then put that out instead of like the actual full res image.
Yeah, there's probably just details that are missing in it or something, because it can't look that bad. But then you think about like the structure of the cowl, and it's like,
yeah,
it was pretty neck eliminating, if I recall.
Yeah, and like with that, I'm sitting here going, I understand your rage, and I'm not going to say specifically that I agree with it so much as I see where y'all are coming from. But I'm also going, is it that you don't care about these movies, or that you care this much? Let's like pick one.
Oh, it's definitely that they care too much, but at this point they've been told that it doesn't matter. And so they're just in like an anger spiral. So, you know, they keep getting their cake, but they know that the cake's days are over, and there's not going to be any more, you know, orders for the cake. All you get is what cake comes left to you, so you start resenting the cake.
Now, next thing I've seen, and this goes to where we are mentioning earlier how, like, these people have no idea how filmmaking works.
Mm-hmm.
Where I've seen this campaign where I think the basic logic is, okay, fine, you guys can have your new DCU over at Warner Brothers, but we'll get Netflix to buy the Snyderverse, and then we can have our movies and our stories over there.
Oh, do they think that Netflix will pay money for that?
Like, They think that Netflix will pay money for it. They think that this is how licensing works.
Like, that's a lot. It's not like, you know, I understand why they think it, because they assume that, like, because Snyder went there to work on his zombie films, you just follow his intellectual property. Thing is, none of that was in his intellectual property. It wasn't to begin with. He didn't create anything. There is nothing new that he brought to the table, and he was never under the kind of contract that, you know, like, for working with his own intellectual property there. He can go and work with a single easy contract like, you know, Night of the Living Dead sequels. That's not a problem, especially with that whole, like, he was doing a sequel or a prequel to one of his ones or some shit. It was a heist movie. And it's technically, the way that he worked the rights of the first one he did, this occurs within his creative world, not necessarily. Anyway, fresh new characters, all that shit. He's allowed to do that. It's a lot easier to argue that. DC Warner Brothers IP is tightly controlled. Unlike Marvel, they never lost control of it in the sense of like selling it off to other studios to try to make an easy buck. They're very, very strict about it. So while they have everything under one house, they're not necessarily going to let you play with the toys. Just look at how they stiffed Gotham for years on having Batman and the Joker. Or Pennyworth, whatever the fuck Pennyworth is the best way to say that. But very specifically, if they do allow you to make outside studio art of their things, which they won't, If they do, if somehow you end up like in a Batman Japan situation where they're just running off making Dr. Lord Death comics or something like that. Anyway, you are paying out the ass for the right to do that. And the amount of money that you will be paying out the ass, and then you have to deal with, say, funding a production, that's so far out of Netflix's, like, area. They could maybe afford a couple of characters. You could have one Batman, and then maybe parts of his entourage. But no fucking way would you be allowed to have an entirely different, say, Justice League running with all those characters and IP just at the whim of someone else and not the overlords at DC Warner Brothers. Mm-mm. No fucking way.
No.
The reason that happened with Marvel is because they were stupid and desperate in the 90s. And they are not stupid or desperate anymore. And as dumb as Warner Brothers is, DC, to extents, is not. And they're not going to be just willy-nilly handing this shit out again.
Yeah, no, like the simple fact is that right now, is Warner Brothers as a studio desperate? Absolutely.
Yes, but to get people to watch their movies, damn it.
Yeah. No, like that's, I think that's what I was about to go into, because as much as, yes, their marketing budget is a goddamn joke, but at the same time, does David Zaslav really strike you as the kind of guy who's going to throw money toward his competition?
He doesn't even I'm going to go out on a limb and say... Well, himself, yes. His own content, no.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, no.
No. No. Even if they got a really favorable deal from, like, Sony for some fucking reason, they know from history, like Hollywood and comic book history, that it will be a fight. Inevitably. Yeah. Doesn't matter how good the relationship is. Inevitably, there's a goddamn legal battle. And sometimes that legal battle is over easy. And sometimes it's decades. And sometimes you have to fight it again and again and again. And, you know, like, how many times did they get in legal shit with Siegel and Schuster, or, you know, the families of Siegel and Schuster?
Yeah.
Or the lawyers of Siegel and Schuster? You do anything to avoid being in court. That's what DC stands for. It's between the D and the C. Do anything to avoid being in court.
And I mean, just to take your Sony example a little further, let's say Sony for some strange reason did do that, wouldn't Marvel go, oh really?
Oh, I could see Sony trying to Hail Mary it and be like, yeah, we got the rights to Green Lantern, we got the rights to Venom Green Lantern team up, anyone? And Marvel and DC would rush to their headquarters to see who could blow it up first.
No doubt. Now, the last one I've heard, and I think this might be my personal favorite, is that over on TikTok, I've seen people desperately trying to push as news the idea that Henry Cavill, Gal Gadot, and Ben Affleck are getting together and planning a class action lawsuit to sue Warner Brothers for breach of contract for canceling the DCEU.
Like,
yeah,
that's not how that works.
No.
And they probably would have gotten the payout anyway for wherever they did. And like, oh, God, it's totally normal for films to cease production midway through or you know, in pre-production, or for contracts to shift. It's not that these people will never work for Warner Brothers again. It's that that contract will be shifted to include a different fucking film under the studio. Or they'll just be given money and told, okay, fun, thanks. It was great working with you. This is entirely normal. Why do these people think that it's a goddamn studio system? Like, what the fuck?
Like, I mean, quite simply, I think it's honestly screw logic. We want our movie back.
Well, you know, like, they're never gonna get it. And I know that they can't seem to understand that, but it's gone. It's gone. If you liked it so much, and here's what I'm shocked that none of them ever did, but I think it's a testimony to the fact that none of them are actually comic book fans. For anyone who's familiar with DC in the last, like, I don't know, 7 to whatever years, there's been some really good lines of Batman 66 and Batman 89 and Superman 76, 77, wherever the fuck right. Superman was.
Yeah.
I used to know that anyway. And they're comics that continue the storylines from the movies and TV show in the general style of them. So their approach, this is best seen in the Batman 66 version, where there's a lot more specific approach and artistic style and wit that can be brought out. Like, there's a way that they do things that really blossom on the page. And so that had a great successful run. I don't know if it's still going, but it was really successful. It was really fun, and it's a great way to bring back these approaches and IP, and to retain the rights and money from them. It's just smart business.
And if Fox Studios has taught us anything, is the studios will do anything to retain the rights.
Yeah, absolutely. But if the Snyderverse matters so much, why are you not advocating and pushing very hard to DC Comics to do an Injustice-style Elseworld of it? You could have it all.
Yep.
You can have the entire Snyderverse laid out pristinely with time taken and the amount of destruction and effects that you want. You can have every single piece of it. You can have more than you ever dreamed of. And you might even be able to get, you know, like, next time there's a crisis, you might even be able to get the rest of the DC universe to acknowledge that it exists somewhere out there on Earth 5807. Who knows? Which means technically it can be the real universe, or it can pull over to the real universe. You can have Batfleck in the real DC universe. And then pull him back into fucking cartoons and movies and shit. There is a roadmap. And it's a well-trodden roadmap, because, like, Grant Morrison has fucking, like, left their sneaker marks all over the goddamn thing. Like, this is a place people have gone when writing comics again and again and again. And the fact that they simply do not approach that, because it's far cheaper and far more likely a thing to get made, is really telling on their complete lack of understanding for this industry. Just a complete nothingness when it comes to giving a shit about how movies are made, how comic books are made, the history of comic books, the history of the characters, or the interconnectivity of those two mediums and industries. I hate them. But, like, yeah. They could have their fucking comic book, and they just won't do it. It'd be so easy. They could draw it themselves.
Yeah, no, like, you know, at the very least, this, like, that device that is sitting in front of you that you guys are using to throw tantrums on social media, that's called a computer. Your computer has this thing called a program on it. You can use that to, like, write your own Snyderverse story. Mm-hmm. Then you could take that Snyderverse story, get yourself a meeting at Warner Brothers, pitch it as your own DC movie. You are free to demand that Zack Snyder be the one to direct your movie.
Or you could even just make your own comic, like, yeah, base it on the idea and go from there. Who knows how far you'll go? But for the love of God, put this energy into something creative.
Yeah, and I mean, like, granted, as a first-time writer, you will be laughed off the Warner Brothers lot as soon as you demand anything.
I mean, still.
But you could still do it.
Worth a shot, and not many people manage to get that far. You're not gonna end up getting that far. I mean, like, you know, email your shit in like a normal person, pitch normally, don't be a weirdo, but pitch. You'll refine your understanding of the story and you'll come up with a better story, even if you're starting from just like doing an adaptation of Man of Steel. By having to go over the story with a fine-tooth comb to adapt it to a different medium, you're going to come up with fixes for its problems. And those fixes will generate other story content. Just start. Go, create your own. And if you need to change a few names along the way, okay. That's normal.
Yeah, like, that's quite literally how writing works. And now, of course, the other major player in this story, The Rock, the man who swore up and down that he has been a comic book guy his whole life. He's always loved the Black Adam character, has been campaigning to play him in the movie for like 15 years. Doesn't know when Black Adam's first appearance was, but...
See, there's the thing. I believe, and once again, it comes down to, like, paying attention to The Rock way, like, 20 years ago, when he was just up and coming. And I do believe that he's a comic book fan. I do. And you know who I think he's a comic book fan of? Superman. I think he's a big fan of Superman. And... I remember back when Wizard was like, who would you like to play? And he was like, Superman. And they went, ha ha ha. But seriously, like, that's yeah, not going to happen. The truth is, that's why he focused in on, like Black Adam and tried to make him a rival for Superman. Because The Rock wanted to be Superman. That's, you know, that's who he wanted to play. He's not allowed to for various reasons, you know, when it comes to like casting and shit. And I'm not saying they're good reasons. Some of them might be good reasons. Maybe he's a shitty Clark Kent, but I could definitely see a world where he could play a Superman. That'd be really fascinating. Instead, they offered him Captain Marvel, and it's like, you know, we have McDonald's at home. No, we don't. Captain Marvel is not Superman. Yeah. And I completely see how that would be the most offensive thing on like some level. And so he decided, no, actually, fuck that shit. Then if I can't be Superman, I'm not going to be the even less relevant version of Superman. And that's what Captain Marvel is. He's when people think that Superman's a Boy Scout, no.
No.
Superman is a Boy Scout leader. Billy Batson's a Boy Scout. Yeah. He doesn't know shit on shit. At least Kent has some fucking, like, clue about the world.
True.
Some. He's hopeful. He's not naive. You know, obviously, he reacted. And knowing vaguely about comic books, you know that, you know, Black Adam is the opposite to Captain Marvel. And so it's like, okay, well, if you're going to offer me this world already, then why not just, I'll take this one instead, please. I know that you've got a few different flavors in the Marvel verse. Can't call it that. The Shazamathon.
There you go. Yeah,
I hate that.
As a fan of his movies, it pains me to say this. I don't want The Rock anywhere near the MCU.
Yeah, no, I am someone who steadfastly believes that there should be multiple Captain Marvels across the whole scope. Everyone who was ever a Captain Marvel in the Marvel universe, they're still Captain Marvel to me. I don't give a fuck who it is. And that also means that in my head, fuck you. Shazam is what he says. That is not his name. His name is Captain Marvel. I'm very, very much an old stickler on this one. I'm not stupid enough to think that the guy created in the 1940s with the ridiculous red Flash Gordon outfit is anyone from the Marvel universe.
Yeah,
no. I know better. I'm a nerd. I understand why they did it. I hate it. That's what I meant when I said, like,
yeah,
Captain Marvel.
I just wanted to throw out that I do not want him anywhere near the MCU because I have seen footage of The Rock saying that he has met with Kevin Feige about working with them. And no.
I say no, but there is a way to do it. And I think it's by rolling into, with the humor of it. Don't give him a big part, but there are a couple of pro wrestler based villains. You could do that easily. I'd like to see him have to do another semi-Egyptian character a la both Shazam and the Scorpion King. just to really nail down the humor of it. Yeah, have him come back. Have him come for Moon Knight one of Moon Knight's villains.
Quick side note. I think you meant to say a la Black Adam, because one of the things that I wanted to bring up was that it has come out that apparently he won't go anywhere near Shazam.
Yeah, and again, that's him just being like, no, I'm not the weenie, not the weenie. That's a weenie. That's going to make me look lesser. And I want Superman. I want Superman. I want Superman. And it's always been about just that need to be associated with the big dog, not the goddamn child.
Yeah. Like, I think to me, a lot of the stuff that's been coming out, surrounding The Rock, it's, I think we had kind of touched on this a bit during the Black Adam review that we did about how he's about building his brand more than anything. This is a guy who allegedly went into Warner Brothers, went over the entire production staff, and went basically straight to David Zaslav pitching the idea of Black Adam versus Superman. This is the guy who, as you had actually sent to me pretty much right after we recorded the review, was putting out fake financial reports regarding Black Adam's box office.
Yeah, no, the dude just wants, like, you know, he's a smart businessman in the sense of he can usually see something that he wants and take it. And he tried to take the DCEU. Problem is, you know, it's a fucking sinking ship. What are you trying to do? Stop trying to salvage this crap. And it burned him slightly. Now there's more blood in the water, and people know that the king is not immortal. His box office is diminishing.
Yeah. And I think possibly my, for lack of a better term, favorite thing here in a what the fuck sense. He wanted to have apparently a tequila bar at the Black Adam premiere that would, of course, feature his tequila.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's pure self-exposure. That's all it was ever about.
Yeah, like, so you wanted to serve booze at the premiere of a PG-13 movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the truth is that happens at pretty much every premiere. Like, unless it's a literal, like, children's movie, there is usually booze going around. Not necessarily tequila, but there will be the Alky Pops, because it's fucking Hollywood. The fact that he more or less demanded that his brand cater this and thus have a kind of promotion, like, it's not a proper brand promotion connecting his brand to the movie. It's kind of like jury rigging one behind the lawyer's back, and that's so skeezy.
And another thing that's come up, now, of course, there's the fact that The Rock is supposedly all buddy-buddy with Henry Cavill, like, campaign to get him back as Superman and so forth. Henry Cavill had parted ways with his manager, I believe, a few months back. Mm. Do you know who his manager was?
It's his The Rock's wife, ain't it?
Yeah, the most electrifying ex-wife in all of entertainment.
Fun times. Now, again, you know, it's the industry, it's business.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much of that plays into that. The access he got was absolutely tied to that. The abandonment, I don't know. It's a weird one. Hollywood's so fucking incestuous.
One other thing is he apparently had pushed for a producing credit on DC League of Super Pets.
Yeah. And which, then, again, that doesn't surprise me because he's like the biggest name in it. Of his own use, again.
Oh, yeah. No, like pushing for the credit, I understand. Pushing for the credit and then doing next to nothing to promote the movie?
Yeah.
That's where I'm going, what?
See, that's why I think he sees this as kind of from the lens of venture capitalism.
Yeah.
This is a flagging brand, and so he's just trying to duck in and out with whatever he can grab. It's perfectly normal business tactics in America. Just coming from a celebrity who is pillaging a little bit.
Yeah, like, I've always said since the DCEU started how this was built on business logic instead of story logic. And I'm kind of seeing that same business logic here in the sense that I don't see any passion for these characters. But I absolutely see The Rock going, here's a failing superhero franchise I can get in on and use my star power to lift it up. Superhero movies are hot. I can get in on the ground floor and use this as an opportunity to build my own brand.
Yeah. Except, whoops. Turns out he picked the wrong one. It's radioactive on the tail end of the trend. And with characters that just didn't work. That, like, As we mentioned previously, the fact that Black Adam is a shallower version of Namor, the Namor that we got in Wakanda Forever, is just like, what the fuck's the point of this?
Yeah.
You know, you're nothing. It's a fucking joke. It's so boring. God, I'm so happy it's ending, because it's gotten to the point that it's just boring. They're not even trying anymore. They're just like fulfilling contracts. It's like, this is the sad ending. You know, it would have been better if it just fucking cut off. Mm.
I did want to end this episode with something Zachary Levi had said in a Hollywood Reporter article, just because with the fan, and I use air quotes because I do very much want to differentiate the Snyder cult from the DCEU fans, who actually are decent people, and I swear they exist. Quote, if you're out there and you really liked what happened before, you can do that. That's fine. But recognize there's a lot of people that didn't like those things, and we should always be trying to, I think, tap into as much audience as possible, making as many people as happy as possible. That's what we're in entertainment for. And I think that's what Peter and James are really trying to do. And it's not an easy position. They got handed all of these things that were already in a lot of conflict. So guys, just fucking give them a break. Take it easy. Take a breath.
Can't believe he had to say that. But yeah.
Yeah. Like, no actor should have to say that.
Yeah.
But I'm glad someone from this franchise did.
Finally.
I mean, I think a lot of them are, at this point, they just don't want to touch it.
Yeah, yeah. And previously, they were making too much money from it. I don't have a lot of high regards for the actors in this world anymore. Like, this particular, the DCEU, all of the leads, like, disappointed me as... It's kind of, you know, like people who allowed quote unquote fandom to run roughshod over, you know, thousands of people in their name, and they didn't stand up for shit. They failed their characters in more ways than one. And at least Zachary Levi seems to get it, though. So, you know, well, then again, that's why he at least works as Shazam.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, the simple fact that he is, I think, also just as much of a nerd as a lot of us who are watching these movies as fans, yeah, and are also, you know, decent people.
Yeah. No, exactly. Well, we'll see what the next chapter holds for the DCU thing stuff. Who knows? Maybe it'll splinter off into a schism and we'll get Orthodox and Catholic DCU, and then there'll be a Protestant Reformation DCU, and then, I don't know, Anabaptist DCU, and eventually Church of Later DCU Saints. It's gonna be a rough 2,000 years.
Yeah, but I think we want to be careful, because that could lead to the Snyder Inquisition.
Which, no, I'm gonna edit there. My brain has stopped. Ah, delightful. Well, that was fun getting back to you. So much as I'm about to pass out from the vid. Yay. I don't know. What are we watching next?
Well, coming up and continuing our tradition of celebrating holidays at least a week late, mm-hmm. So by probably, I'm going to say next Wednesday at the latest, you'll have our review of the 1982 flick New Year's Evil.
Oh, no, it's going to take more than that. I think we'll have to shift the release schedule to, like, Mondays or something, because I'll need time to work on this one, and then I'll need time to work on that one. They're not getting it Wednesday.
Okay, no, you know, fair enough. Like, to be honest, I was honestly guessing.
Fair enough. Yeah, I completely was. I'm going to give every episode a full week of, like, production so that I can get them all spiffified.
All right, well, sometime this month. will be our review of the 1982 horror classic New Year's Evil. Our next B-roll, on TikTok, I did come across a Seth MacFarlane quote about Star Trek that people have been kind of wrongly losing their minds over. I'm kind of going, we could probably play with that a bit.
That's fair. And did you want to do one B-roll a month and then three movies, or like?
I was assuming two and two, but like a very flexible two and two.
Fair. Whichever works for you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I was assuming a straight movie B-roll. But there would be periods where, for whatever reason, we had to go movie, or, like...
Yeah, because, yeah, I just figure, like, you know, the more movies put out, the better.
I don't know. Well, I mean, as we had happen over December, like, there are those periods where we would have to drop the B-roll to cover whatever comes up.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And since the B-roll is our less formal for the fun of it, I'm not super concerned about whether it's out consistently anyway.
That's fair. Okay, so look forward to New Year's Evil at some point in the future.
And until then, if you have any comments, questions, you're a Snyder cultist who thinks that they can yell at us in a way that will matter, and we will not make fun of you for it. I mean, we'll totally make fun of you for it, but you can think whatever you want. Or if you want to send Crash best wishes for her recovery, sympathy emails, what have you, you can drop all of that at realgeekshfx@gmail.com or on Twitter at realgeekshfx. If you're a Snyder cultist who wants to yell at me directly, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Hive at the Maritime Lord. You're free to post whatever nasty comments you like. I'm just going to automatically delete all of them. Or you can email me directly for me to ignore you at themaritimelord@gmail.com. Or Crash, if you've got enough left for your sign off.
Yeah, and I can be found at Friday in Halifax on Twitter and Crash and Burn everywhere else. Send support or send money. I'll take money. Money cures everything.
Money does qualify as support.
And until next time, I hope that you're feeling better than I am.
Oh, we'll see you then. And please, for the love of God, James Gunn, I just want good comic book movies. That's all I'm asking for.